Hello, this is the Angry GM, and what you're now listening to, assuming you're listening to it, and if you're not listening to it, you can't hear it, so you must be listening to it. What you're listening to now is the supplemental Q&A follow-up to my proofread aloud that I just finished proofreading aloud called Just What the Hell is Scenario Design Anyway? And now I have opened up the Angry Games studio to questions, which people are frantically typing so that I can answer a few questions and post this up too. So let's just get to the questions, starting with Kaladrev's excellent question of what kind of things will you be teaching us in this course that will be making us better at game design? I will be teaching you good game design. That's my goal, is actually just to teach you how to be a game designer, how to design a game. Because as I said at the end, you know, scenario design is actually just game design. So I'm just going to have to teach you game design. That's kind of why I've had this on hold for a while, because I had to figure out how the hell can I teach people game design with 5,000 words a month, and not take more than a year to do it, when I'm not even sure what good game design is anyway. Okay, so that's what I'm going to be teaching. I'm going to be actually teaching you game design from first principles all the way through to, you know, whatever. You know, what, you know, except we don't at least have to do our math, right? Because the system does the math for us. At least we don't have to do the math, which is the least important part of game design anyway, despite what anyone believes. Noited, how important is good world design, world building for crafting a satisfying long-term game experience? Will that topic be worth its own article? No, it is not worth its own article, because good world design, world building is secondary to, it's like, however important game design is, world design is less than that. And so we care about it when we care about it, but otherwise we don't. Okay. World design, look, world building will not make you a good game. Okay. If you make a good game, it doesn't matter if your world building is just like meh. It doesn't even matter if you just run in the default D&D campaign. World building doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Okay. And when you stop doing what you're supposed to be doing because you're too busy masturbating about your world design, you get a person who spends 13 years designing his world instead of writing the next sequel to his book. Okay? So the point is, world design's not that important. Okay? The most important thing is, don't break your world design. As long as your world design doesn't break, it's fine. Okay. Guy Quayle, what are the specific challenges of being a designer for mystery and investigative scenarios? The specific challenges for designing mystery and investigative scenarios are, designing mystery and investigative scenarios is hard. Okay? It's puzzle design, it's information management, it's dealing with the fact that players are stupid and nothing is as obvious as you think it is. Okay? It's awful. I'm going to have to do it at some point. I don't know how I'm going to do it, because, you know, I honestly don't know. Okay. The thing is, I need to sit, like, this is the thing. Like, if you're asking me about future topics, the problem you have is I haven't sat down and worked them out yet. Like, I know I have the idea, but, you know, it's like, if you're trying to learn how to do good game design, you're not jumping ahead to mystery and investigative game scenarios yet. I'm sure most of you can't even tell me at this point what the four qualities that a tabletop role-playing game scenario must have before you pass it to a game master are. You know, any scenario. Before we start getting into the specifics of mystery and investigative scenarios, do you know what four things need to be considered? So look, that's where we're starting. Okay? So anyway. Theron, when designing the tools to handle the possible player choices in a scenario, how specific, generic should be the tools? Okay, so when you're designing tools to handle player choices, they should be as specific or generic as they need to be for the scenario you're building. Okay? I mean, again, this is like, everything is specific to the thing you're building. That was like the hidden secret language, or the hidden secret takeaway, not the hidden secret language. The hidden secret takeaway in all of that was, You know, what does an adventure module look like? If you write an adventure module for, you know, if you write any adventure module, what does it look like? What components does it have? How do you build the challenges and whatever? Every one of those things is built specifically for the scenario you're building. Okay. You need to know how, like, what, you know, I mean, that's the thing is you need, as a game designer, a scenario designer, the first thing you have to figure out is what tools are necessary and what form should those tools take. Okay. This is why there's no rote, like, look, in Dungeon, like, it's really hard to explain this. Because this is why I just need to write a year-long course on this. Okay. In the Monster Manual, or in the Dungeon Master's Guide, it tells you how to build a dungeon adventure. Right? And it tells you how to draw a map, and it tells you how to design combats, and it tells you that you should have this many combats before you have blah, blah, blah. It's very structured, it's very strict. Okay, and the reason why that's the only thing it tells you, and when it starts talking about building other types of adventures, it suddenly goes from being really structured and specific to just like, I don't know, you know, like you should probably do this and think about that, and here's some ways you might do blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's because the less specific your design goals are to begin with, the more open-ended the end result is going to be. Like, the more variety there's going to be in any two end results, you know? Like, even mystery scenario or investigative scenario, that's a huge thing. Are we talking about a whodunit, or are we talking about like a conspiracy game? Those are very, very different things. Are we talking about a conspiracy campaign, or are we talking about a single whodunit adventure? You know, it's like people just throw these generic terms out. You do want to understand how a mystery is put together. And if you understand how a mystery is put together, then when you decide, I want to write a mystery adventure in which the players are confronted with a murder, and then they have six subjects, or they have a falsely accused subject, and they have to approve that subject innocent. But as a bonus extra ending, if they can figure out who actually did it and capture or convict them, there's a better ending. And if they fail, you know, then this innocent person will go to jail, and then their son will be resentful and come get revenge on the party at some point, right? Like, that, by the way, is how, like, that's how you spin a seed, by the way, for scenario design. Since I'm just spitballing and talking, like, I'm just now clarifying my points. So here we go. This is just bonus clarification. Okay. People think, I want to write an investigative scenario. That's not enough for me to tell you anything. Okay. It's not even, I want to do a murder mystery. That's not enough. Okay. What I just did, that's the bare minimum before you can even start designing anything. It's like, you know, what is the goal? What are the possible outcomes? How is the scenario set up? How do how do the players interact in that scenario? And then there's other things. Like, remember what I said, there's the four things. So there are four things that need to be involved in this, you know. But the very basics, like the first thing you need to do is you need to actually define the scenario you're designing pretty precisely. I'm not saying you have to plot out the whole damn thing, but before you start trying to even figure out how you might design this, you already need to know what is the goal, you know, what at least is the major obstacle or conflict that the players will face in this? What is the major source of challenge that must be overcome for the goal? What are the possible outcomes? And, you know, all the things I just said, right? That's where you have to start. Most people, when they start writing an adventure, they start writing their adventure or campaign or whatever with a very, very generic thing, like, so that they need to go in, there's a goblin cave, and I want them to just encounter some goblins who are looting the cave for treasure. Like, I'm sorry, dude. That's not enough. You don't have a design statement there. You can't design a game with just that. So, you know? So, yeah. And then as, like, all of the other decisions follow along from that. Like, with Theron's questions, how generic or specific should the tools be? You know, like, if it's in a situation where there's real, and this goes to an important idea too. I think I'm getting a message that I'm running out of time. I did. I got a 4-minute warning and that came in 1 minute ago. So, okay. So if I'm designing, I lost my thought because I went and looked at the message I got. Shit. Okay. What the hell was I saying? So let's say I'm designing a scenario where, or an encounter, where realistically speaking, I know there's only two choices. It is just a situation where the players are either going to fight the thing or they're going to sneak past the thing. Okay? They might come up with a third option. How likely is that? I don't know. If I think it's very likely, then I should probably try to come up with what that third option is and make sure that the game master is ready for it. If the third option seems very unlikely and that there are very two obvious paths, well, then I only need to figure out how to resolve those two things. And I never want to do more design than I have to. Okay, why? Because my time is limited and I don't want to spend my time on scenario design. I would rather spend my time running role-playing games, or if I'm not running role-playing games, playing video games. Scenario design is the obstacle to me running role-playing games. So I don't want to design any more than I have to. And in fact, if I really wanted to do it right, what I might do as the scenario designer is I might stack the deck so that there really obviously are only two. Like, I nudge the party with my secret game design invisible hand, with my secret invisible hand of game design. I nudge the party toward those only being the two options. Or I nudge the party toward the one option I think is best and most likely to create the most fun gameplay experience. This also is part of being a scenario designer. I'm not trying to give the players, you know, all the choice and agency and free determination in the world. Okay, I'm actually trying to give them the best gameplay experience possible, and I know better than them what that is. So if I can nudge them toward it, and they never know they're being nudged, and, you know, it's just like the situation is set up such that it never even occurs to them that that third choice existed. So they only take one of the two choices that I've already laid out, and the game master already has the mechanics for it, and they think it was their free choice, and the game master never has to improvise anything, and everything just goes off smoothly, and everyone has a grand time, and we can just move to the next encounter. That's a successful scenario design, okay? Obviously, part of the draw of role-playing games is that they are open-ended and that the players do feel like they can make whatever choices they want. And then, I mean, there's a whole bunch of other stuff besides this, but, you know, the scenario, as a scenario designer, you kind of have to be willing to be heavy-handed, because you do want the players going on only the path you design. Some paths are better handled than, like, I just don't want to run a chase scene in D&D. It doesn't handle it well. I could design one. That's a lot of work. So I'm probably better off just designing a situation that doesn't need a chase scene. I'm not saying that's always the case, and I have done my chase scenes and whatever, and I really need to get offline now, don't I? I need to stop. Okay, I'm babbling on for a long time. I've hit the end of my time. Anyway, that's the terrible Q&A that follows the terrible, disastrous proofread aloud to that terrible, rambling, awful article. The end. And thank you, Proselis, for producing. Thank you, Caladriv, Noided, Guy Quayle, and Theron for your questions that I didn't answer and then abused you for, which is par for the course. And goodbye.